Hello. Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are currently in our series, Relationships. If you would like to know more about North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can check us out on our website, nvcmd.org.
I like mixing things up. It makes things exciting. So we are continuing our relationship series. So if you've been with us the past, I think this is the sixth week of relationships. So the past 5 weeks, you've heard a variety of messages in regards to relationships, how to work with relationships, how to work with conflict within relationships. And they've been brought by a handful of different people. And so first I want to just point out how cool it is and how awesome it is that God allows people and speaks through different people in ways that each individual can't do on their own. And so Pastor Dan has carried a good bit of this series. We also had Mr. Howard up here with us one Sunday a couple weeks back. And so if you haven't caught the podcast yet and you want to hear Howard teach, I made sure to share it and we made sure it's up. So you can find the North Valley podcast on both iTunes and Google Podcasts, and they're all up and running. All the podcasts are there. So, and that goes for any sermon. I had to poke Howard a little bit. Howard was like, I don't know, Grant, I'm not sure, go into this. And he even said it in his message in the morning, on the Sunday morning, I don't know if this is my thing, but, if the Holy Spirit says so, and Pastor Dan says pray about it, you're kind of stuck. And so that's where you are at. That's where we're at. And so that's part of my story, too, and that's sort of how I've landed here. But it's just so cool to be able to see and hear God speak through so many different people in so many different ways. And that kind of has been a running sort of theme underneath of this relationship series, is just how God shows us how to work through relationships, but we see Him through relationships. And so today, if you haven't caught a slight theme yet, we stripped everything back today. We're going full kumbaya. And so they're going to bring a fire out and light it on the floor here in a couple minutes. No, I'm just kidding. No fire. I was definitely told no fires. I totally would do it. Maybe. But we're going with a theme on circles this week. Circles. And so we reorganized the chairs. You should have saw me and Dan getting so giddy and excited on Thursday as we were moving the chairs around. This is so cool. We actually have roundness in here. It's going to be so cool. And and I'm back at home prepping, and I'm like, this is going to be so cool. The chairs are so cool. And I'm like, oh man, hopefully everybody gets this when they come in. I'm sure none of you even picked it up, but that's okay. It was fun. So today we're talking about circles. I digress. And that's why I'm glad we have slides on the back, so it helps remind me. And circles, relationship circles, I'm going to do the damn thing, focus, all right? Relationship circles are what we live our lives in. Whether we recognize it or not, our lives involve lots of relationships and lots of circles of relationships. Just for instance, kind of poke your brain a little bit, there's certain people that you would consider work people, right? And there's certain people you would consider family people. There's those certain people that are the sports teams, the kids' friends. You have all these pockets of people whom which you have a somewhat of a relationship with. There's those people you talk politics with. There's those people you don't talk politics with, right? There's those sports people. There's those sports people you poke on a good Sunday when your team won, and there's sports people you avoid on a Sunday when your team lost. And so we have all these different pockets of relationships, and they're all great. They all have their place. They all fit well, but they're all so very different. Just like I said, there's people that you would get together with, and you would talk about some intense conversations like politics. Where things get a little heated sometimes, you would talk with. And then there's other groups that you just wouldn't even consider bringing that up. It just doesn't fit that application. It's not a necessary conversation there. And so you have these circles of people that we interact with, these different relationships that we have with these people, and they're all in various degrees of intimacy, if you want to use that word, or severity, if you want to use that word, right? Some are in-depth, heavy conversations. Some are less heavy conversations. Some people have the ability to influence you and your life. Some people, you wouldn't want to give them the chance to influence your life, right? And so there's this varying degree of relationships, these varying degrees of circles of people whom which we work with on the daily. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, in an effort to try to kind of put everything together, I spent some time, Pastor Dan spent some time, I spent some time with Pastor Dan, and we sort of, through Bible and our thoughts, have kind of created three groups, three circles of relationships in which we function in. Okay, and so I've given them names, but these names don't have to like specifically be that exact name. Like it could be moved to lots of different things. But just bear with me as I named these circles. So you'll see the biggest circle we called crowds. Crowds. And this, so those are the people that we deal with maybe in mass. Maybe in mass. We see them maybe once a week, or maybe you just pass them in the grocery store and you have a good, happy conversation because you have a cool shirt on or a cool pair of shoes. I have three little girls and they love to meet new people. I mean, like, we were walking, Maddie had some maternity pictures yesterday. Somehow we had this great idea that I would go with the kids to the park where she was having her maternity pictures done, and I'd try to herd the kids. And we're walking through the park with a bunch of people, and it's in Leesburg, Virginia, so there's no chance of me running into anybody I even know. And the girls are asking every person what their name is. Hi, what's your name? Hi, what's your name? Hey, nice dog, what's your name? And I'm like, holy cow. And so I quickly grew a crowd relationship with a variety of people whom I have never met in my entire life through my awesome little ladies who like to meet people. And so these people, you know, we have real quick conversations with, oh, yeah, I have three daughters. Yeah, my wife's over there getting pictures. Oh, yeah, she's pregnant. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they say it's supposed to be a boy. I don't trust the doctors yet. So we'll see what happens when the baby gets here. We're only about a month away. And so, oh, yeah. And so I've had all these cool relationships or cool conversations with, but never in the crowd relationship, never in these kind of discussions and this kind of group discussion did I dig into, like, oh, yeah, and, you know, we sold our house and we live with my in-laws right now. Like, oh, well, yeah, I quit my job a handful of years ago to become a pastor and I've been playing out that trip. Like, I never dove into the more nitty-gritty of who Grant and his family is. Like, we kind of stayed surface level of, like, yeah, cute girls, cute wife, babies, cool things, fuzziness, happy places, rainbows, right? And we stayed kind of there. And that's perfectly okay, because in a crowd relationship, in that circle of influence in which crowds are a part of, that's completely accurate and okay. That's completely appropriate to have a relationship with somebody where in which you're conversationally good with them, everything's working well, but you're not diving crazy deep. They don't need to know all the ins and outs, right? And that's our crowd type of relationship. So there's this big group of people, and you're going to hear me use the term circle of influence. How many of you have heard that term before, right? Okay, all right, so I'm going to completely shake that up in your brain right now. I've been through a bajillion leadership courses of a variety of kinds, from construction to church, a mix all over the place, like, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? Oh, you want to start a church? Oh, you want to be a construction guy? Oh, you want to lead guys in your department, whatever. And a part of that circle of influence is always, like, how you're influencing them, right? How you're like, the people in which you're influencing. Well, we're going to flip that on its head today, because I want to talk about the people in which are influencing you. Because influence isn't just like a one-way street where it's you influencing. As a matter of fact, it's like this dual-way street, and it's kind of like a combatant street. It's like which stream can push harder in which direction. So am I influencing you, or are you influencing me? Okay, and so when I say circle of influence, I want to define that and clarify that a little bit before I get into this and say that word too many times. I'm talking about the influence in which the people around you, these circles of relationships around you, have on you as an individual. And so the crowd is the biggest bucket, the biggest circle of people whom which you meet. Continuously grows in, grows out. You pass them once, you may never meet them again, but there was a relationship, there was a discussion, and there was some influence there. Small amount. Large number of people, small amount of influence. The next circle we step down into is what we labeled, Pastor Dan, mostly because I was like, I don't know what you call this. It's called like the middle group, not the one little smaller but not smallest circle. Dan's like, how do we call it small group? So we're using the term small group. To some people, small groups 50, to some people, small groups 100, to some people, small groups 5. So I'm going to kind of squeeze it down to, let's put it in a small group of 12.
I get it.
All right? A small group of 12, right? And so in small groups, and you can see where we're going today, huh?
Yeah.
In small groups, we have more intimate, more influenced relationships, okay? It's a small group of people who know more about what Grant's family's doing, what Grant's life looks like, the chaos in which I live currently, right? They get to see, they get to hear me go, oh, they get to see me going, hey, you know, and they get to see all the ins and outs of Grant and his family. And so that smaller group of people, they know my family better, they know me better, and they talk to me a little more frequently. I would label them as friends. Friends, right? Friends. And sometimes family falls in a small group. Sometimes family doesn't fall in a small group. Sometimes it's a crowd. I have parts of my family, our families are pretty large. I have parts of my family and my wife's family who I've like seen like once or maybe twice. I'd put them in the crowd category. It's completely okay. They shouldn't be offended. They don't know me very well and I don't know them very well. And that's okay. Like we have a relationship like that. But that's it. The most of my other family is in the small group family where we meet, they know what's going on, they're praying for us, and they're talking, and every time I see them, they're asking questions about the girls and what's going on at church and how in the world are you doing mentally, Grant? I'm doing perfectly fine. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. And they know the ins and outs of what's going on in my life. And so these smaller groups, let's say 12, the smaller group has higher influence, less people. Big group, lots of people, less influence. Small group, smaller people, bigger influence. And the last group we're going to talk about today is what we're calling the inner circle, or I call it the core. And we're talking like 3 at the max, like small number of people. And these people in the smallest group have the largest amount of influence. This group of people whom which we allow to know the ins and outs down to the center, down to the core. They're the people you call on a daily when you're like, my kids are driving me up the wall and I need a human to talk to so I don't do crazy things like lock myself in my room and watch Netflix binge watching all day and let the kids run wild. You know, like things like that. I've never done any of that. I don't know anything about that. I'm just, you know, just spitballing here. But like those are the kind of people that, you know, when something tough has happened, when the world's dealt you something upside down that didn't go well, those are the kind of people you grab and say, please, spend some time with me. When you're in a heavy life change situation, something is changing big, a new career, a new family move, you're calling them and saying, hey, what do I do in this kind of scenario? What's your suggestion? Please help me out. Like, big influence, small, tiny group. Big influence, small, tiny group. Okay, and so today, that's kind of what we're looking at. We're looking at crowds, which are a big group with small influence. We're looking at small groups, which are a medium-sized group with somewhat more influence, and an inner circle or a core, which is a tiny group with a lot of influence. And see, these groups are really important because the balance is what helps us relationally and just in society to function well, okay? And I'll give you a couple examples. When I was a young dude going through school, you could only imagine, I talked to a lot of people. Like, I like to talk, I like people, I like to talk to people, okay? So I knew lots and lots of people. I knew lots of people at school. I knew lots of people at church. I knew lots of people outside of school and church. I knew the girls get to talk to everybody at the park, probably for me, all right? So I'm just going to throw it, don't tell Maddie, but I'm just going to throw it out there. I might blame it on her sometimes, but it's most likely my fault. I talked to lots of people. I liked to meet a lot of people. But I had a huge crowd. I had a way too big small group, but I had a zero inner circle. I grew up in a church with my family and my cousins. I spent a lot of time with my cousins, a lot of time with my family, because we were at church throughout the week. We were at practice throughout the week. We were tearing down and setting up church. At the time, the church was fair-sized, meeting in an elementary school. We had to haul in all the equipment, haul out all the equipment, and when you're a family with 5 men and a woman in it, they recruit you to do all the heavy moving. So me and my brothers and dad and mom on occasion, we'd pick up the trailers, we'd haul them to the church, we'd pull out the stuff, we'd set up the cables, we'd do all the stuff. week, during the week, during the weekends, set up, tear down, all the nine, right? So I spent a ton of time with a lot of these guys that whom are cousins of mine. I would at the time have thought, like, friends, they were probably, I had lots of friends, but they were probably my friends, like my actual friends, as close to a core as I could get, that was it. But very little did they know about what was going on in me and in my life. I had no inner circle. And so when you have this big group of friends, but very little influence in your life, or you allow very little influence of your life gets this really weird upside down feel. You get this feel of like, I have nowhere to go, I have no one to talk to, and I have no idea to figure out what's going on, right? Because you have this big group of people whom which you think are your friends, but you don't want to give them any influence on you. And you have a smaller group of people that give influence, but they don't want to give any influence on you. And then you have this core that doesn't exist. I also know that there is another side of it where it's a flip. So the core, the inner circle, becomes huge. And you have lots of influencers. And you love all the influencers. You have lots of different people whom you love, and you allow them to talk into your life, but then you feel like you're sitting in the middle of a room with a really big conversation, and you're trying to make a decision, and you can't understand a single word anybody's saying, right? It just becomes this chaotic, crazy conference room of you not making decisions, and it becomes really difficult. And so the circles we're talking about today, we're talking about imbalance. And so the way we balance these circles of relationships, the way we balance the crowds and the small groups and the inner circles, the way we balance is by looking at what Jesus did. Because crazy enough, this group, this three-group mentality, this three-group model wasn't made up by any man in particular, by us. It was made up by God himself in Jesus when he walked. And so we're going to spend a couple minutes, going through a fair number of verses, and I'll read them. You guys can read along. They'll be on the screens here, and we're going to hit each group in itself, So we're going to take a look at how Jesus interacted with crowds. We're going to take a look at how Jesus interacted with a small group, and we're going to take a look at how Jesus interacted with a core, okay? All right, so our first is the crowds, and so what I call this is feed the crowds. Huh, go figure, feed. I thought it was a cool word. I picked it up on my own. All right, so we're starting in the book of John, chapter 6. Everybody's like, Grant, you're a nerd. Yeah, I know. All right, and it starts like this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up onto the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." We got a problem. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, so they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. I can't remember if that was the end or if there's one more. Is that the end? All right. Good. Okay, so here we get a picture. Jesus doing his thing. He's out in ministry. He's walking. Crowd forms. Crowds following. He goes with his disciples, which we'll hit here in a second. He goes with his disciples. They see this great crowd, and they're all starving. I'm sure everybody was like out walking. It had been a long walk. Everybody's hungry, and I'm sure the crowd's probably a little bit whiny. They're probably like, "Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm starving," right? And so Jesus is like, "Hey guys, what should we do? We got this big crowd of people whom I know very little of them. You don't see individual names. You just see it called as a great crowd, right? And it's like, what should we do, guys? What should we do?" And what's Jesus do? Jesus feeds them. And so when we look at crowds and our interaction with crowds, which I would put as the general public and whom we interact with pretty frequently, Jesus' reaction, his interaction with the crowd wasn't one of, "Hey, what's your name? How's your family? Hey, what's your name? How can I help? Hey, what was your name? Hey. You know, it wasn't one of that. It was like this: "Hey, I'm Jesus. Here I am. Let me see what I can do to help you. How can I love on you? How can I help you? How can I help you with the needs you have? How can I meet some of your needs? And so, although we're not Jesus, I would have a really hard time taking a couple loaves and some fish and distributing it among 5,000 people. I don't think it would work very well, and I think they would get really angry with me. So although I'm not Jesus, we, as of us, can see this as Jesus interacting in a loving, meaningful way, interacting in a way that shines light to what's going on, in a way that meets the needs, the surface level needs that they have, all right? And so Jesus fed the crowds. He fed the crowds. He sat down, he distributed what needed, he stood and showed who he was, and we can do the same. We can do the same. Maybe not with food, but we can meet the people and shine Jesus' light with them. We can go and help and serve the masses. We have a team here that goes every Tuesday and packs lunches, dinners, bags with food, to which they get distributed downtown Frederick at the Alan P. Linton Coldwater. Okay, yeah, look, see, I'm remembering things. And they get distributed so that we, in a way, can help feed the crowds. Feed the crowds. And so Jesus was showing us how we can interact with masses of people and show Jesus through our interactions with them, by showing love to them, by shining a light, by being a light, by helping with what we have, our time, maybe sometimes our money, to be able to help and assist the crowds. All right, next circle. And next circle, I called it lead the small group. Lead the small group. Notice the little things around lead. We'll talk about that. All right, so Jesus went up on a mountainside. This is out of Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him who he wanted, and they came. Man, he appointed 12 that they may be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. I think that was it for that one, right? All right. I don't have my notes. I done messed up. It happens. All right. So, lead the small groups. So, we went from Jesus working with giant masses. The next, three, spells out the specific men whom which Jesus chose, the 12 disciples. Okay? And so, Jesus was walking. He's worked with the crowds. Now he's pulling together 12 specific called out people, people Jesus picked in particular, and he was working with them so that they could go preach. Now we're looking at a little bit of a different role. We aren't Jesus, at least I'm not. I used to have long hair, but I'm not. I can't pull it. No? he was like, don't, Cran, don't go there. Okay. And so we're not Jesus, so we're not going to call 12 disciples and send them out to preach per se, okay? But what we can do, working with small groups, is work with them. And so Jesus called 12 individuals. He had the opportunity to work with thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and he could have the huge impact on all of them the same way he could have had on the disciples. But Jesus chose to pick 12. He chose to squeeze it down. He chose to walk closely with those 12. He chose to allow them to be close to him, to say stupid things and ask stupid questions all the time. Right, Peter? Right. Right? It allowed them to get close, allowed them to know who he was. And you know the craziest part about all of it? He knew that one of them was a traitor, and he allowed him in. That was one of the 12, Judas. Now, how crazy is that, right? The snitch. Bring him in. If I were to pick my crazy 12, I don't know if I would have picked that, right? I would have stayed, but there's thousands upon thousands of other people out there. Could I pick somebody who I know that isn't going to do that to me? You know? But Jesus chose those particular 12 to work with in a close and more intimate way so that they could have an influence and so that he could have an influence, right? They were working with him, he was influencing them, and he was working with them, to which he was flipping tables and a little bit angry sometimes. So they were clearly influencing Jesus a little bit, as odd as that seems. And so the small groups that we work with, we need to allow enough people so that we can have a close relationship with them, so that we can work closely with them, so that we can walk and check in with them frequently, and so that we can have an influence to them and they an influence on us that will allow impact that will allow impact on our lives. The last smallest circle we're going to hit, the inner circle. I wrote, need the inner circle. And this time, I mean it. You know, the first one, it was like sort of feed, but we're not quite feeding. This time it was like lead, but we can't quite lead, but it's similar, we're drawing similar concepts. This time it's need. Like you and I need this kind of circle. Okay, so we'll read through this. This is Matthew. I actually have two different books with some verses out of it. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Jesus showed his true and natural self to them. Jesus showed to those three people, they saw Jesus in a way that no one else there had seen. Jesus revealed his inner self, as beautiful as it is, as it was. He showed it to those three. All right, next group. Thank you. Mark 14. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "I should read off of a smaller screen with bigger words." And Jesus said to the disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Stay here and keep watch. Okay, so in this picture, we're seeing Jesus in a unique way, right? The three, he's working with his three, his core, his inner circle. In one group of verses, he shows himself transfigured in all of his glory. In the second group, they see an overwhelmed soul of Jesus. They see Jesus with sorrow to the point of death. They see Jesus in a way that no one else had seen. They get to cover Jesus' back. Stay here and keep watch. Okay, so in our core, our smallest groups of people, they should see the you for who you are. They should see the true you, the stripped down, the beauty and in distress, the good and the bad. They should see you all the way to the purest you can possibly do of you, because that allows them to help speak influence into your life. That allows them to cover your back when you need it, right? You have a close-knit group that's there to help you. And so as we kind of round out this message and we round out the circles, man, you guys are a tough crowd today. I know. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what this specifically looks like for you and I. So I gave you a little bit of insight in what Grant looked like before. My circles were way out of balance. I didn't have a core. Nobody knew the true inner workings of Grant. What was going on? What was developing? What wasn't? What I was holding back? What I was allowing? There was nothing. Nobody knew it. So nobody was there when I needed them to help me to grow, to help me when I'm struggling, to stand beside me, to stand behind me and protect me when I'm fighting something difficult. There wasn't a group there. And so it's so important for us to have a balanced relationships, a variety of balanced relationships, for us to have the crowd group in a crowd circle, to allow them to be a crowd, to allow us to work with them, to show them love, to care for them, to be there with them when we're there, but to be careful with the influence that they have on us. For us to choose, for us to pick a small group, and I suggest 12 because, you know, why not? A small group, choose, pick them yourself and do it on purpose. Meet with them, be with them, grow with them, share with them, and then to take a group of three and be super intentional about who they are and the type of influence they have on you. Watch them, study them, see what they do. What decisions do they make? Do they align with what you believe? Do they not align with what you believe? Do they walk the world the same way you do, or do they not walk the same way you do? Do they follow Jesus? Do they not? I'll be straight. Like I know people who have had lots of close friends who aren't on the same page as them, who are influencers to the core, but they don't influence in a good way because they're not in alignment. The two relationships, the two people, the core and that person's core, they don't work well together. And so that they will influence you, and that's good. That's made to be that way. But if you're not particularly careful about those whom are influencing you, they can pull you in a way that maybe you didn't want to go. And so first, we need to spend some time recognizing the circles. We need to spend some time being super driven and focused on looking at who is in my core, who is in my small group of 12, who lands in the crowd. Don't be sad for those who are people lovers like myself. You're going to want to go, but like they're going to be upset if they're not in my core, so maybe I'll make it 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. Right? Or maybe like, but I really like that person. They shouldn't be a crowd level, but maybe they should. Right? And so don't let the relationship worry you, okay? Because they're not going to care. You don't have to tell them, hey, you're a crowd and you're not and you're whatever and you're not. You don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to label them. No stickies. Sorry, teachers. I know. I got it. You don't have to physically label them and tell them what they are. But in you, inside of you, know where they fit with the influence they have on you, with your circle of influencers, right? Know where they fit. So for you note takers, I suggest like maybe spend some time. You can go through, you can listen to the podcast or pull it off of the sermon notes. You can go through and read those verses. Spend some time looking at them. Dissect them, pull them apart. See if you can figure out how to best align these people that you have in your life and how they influence you, where they fit. And I suggest take a pen and a piece of paper. Don't show it to nobody, but write it down. Write it down. Do a draft. I mean, it is the season for football drafts. Do a draft, right? Write the names out. Draft them into your circles, okay? And then start to intentionally seek them out. The core, the small group, and the crowd. Or a small group in the crowd. So today I want to leave you with a couple questions. Who is in your core? Do you have a core? But who is in your core? Who doesn't belong in your core? Who's driving you in a way that you shouldn't be going? That's working counteracting what you're working towards, working in a counter direction for where you're trying to head. Who's in there that shouldn't be? Maybe it's time to move them. Right? Who's in your small group? Maybe there's people you interact with that shouldn't be in your small group. Maybe there's people you'd like to interact with more that should be in your small group. Seek out the relationship. Take a step forward. Ask to meet for coffee. I don't do coffee, but lots of people do, right? Ask to meet for coffee. Ask to meet for hot chocolate, ice cream. Everybody works over food well, if you can tell. Take them out to dinner, right? Go meet at a park. Take somebody hiking. And just spend some time in those tight relationships so that your influencers and those who are influencing you can grow closer together and so that you can make sure that you're not being influenced in a way that is counter to the direction God's taking you. All right, let me pray for you guys. Do some worship. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the example that you gave, showing us how Jesus interacted with the masses, but how he interacted different with the core group, Father. We just pray that we're able to just discern and understand the relationship differences. Father, we pray that we're able to spend some time just dissecting the relationships we have now, separating them out, looking at them for what they are, and being okay with making changes to those who influence us in a way that is counterintuitive to what you have for us, Father. Pray that we're able to just be focused, that we're able to do this in a way that's just clear and clean. Father, and I pray that we're able to just seek you. Maybe we don't have some of those people in those places, that we're able to just seek you and for you to allow and provide those people for us. Father, I just thank you so much for our time together this morning. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.